If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrella Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny, I told you today, I got to tell you again, it's the craziest thing. She stole my pineapple Maui Wowie going through my drawers when she was drinking too much J-Mo in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, direct in traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flights of flights, a party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do it, shake it. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. And right now, the Lakers are blowing out the Nuggets 63-49. And I just asked Carver High. I said, listen, I know they're up big. I know they're killing them. I mean, the Nuggets are turning the ball over left and right. Joker has three fouls. He's sitting on the bench. He's been on the bench for 10 minutes. Murray got a tech. And all I know is that it is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Like, no one can even deny it. Yeah, and everyone in Los Angeles, hear me loud and clear. The Lakers, they look fantastic, but they cry. They literally complain. They work the refs like no team I have ever seen in my life. Every single whistle they complain about. I mean, they are guilty of nothing. Carver High admit it. They're never guilty of anything. I mean, a guy could chop a guy's head off and they would say not guilty. They don't think they do anything.
They cry about everything. Absolutely everything that's gone. And they've gotten every call in this game and they still cry.
They get every single call and they still cry. And then when the Nuggets have the ball, Bron's working the ref.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So AD's missed his last free throws. Otherwise, I mean, they're up 12. They'd be up like 16 right now, 17. I mean, they missed a couple shots, but literally he has 16. He's 4 of 8 from the floor, 5 boards, 2 dimes. Obviously, he makes the second free throw. The Nuggets are having problems, obviously, with the Lakers' size, whether it's McGee, Howard, and Davis. And if you've watched the game, like, Howard came into the game with 10 minutes left in the second, and he just flat out started playing dirty. I mean, he just started getting physical from the jump. Not only that, he had a block on, I think, Morris or it may have been, it was Harris, and he swatted his shot like 10 rows into the stands. Excuse me. And then when he got, you know, he did it, he started talking smack to him. And then when he, because they all fell down on the ground, then he talked some more heat to him. And then when later, like a minute later, Plumlee had a dunk and sent Danny Green flying into the ground. And then he literally almost went over and stepped on him on his face. And then he looked at him like, well, two can play that game. So there's been some chippy stuff. I also saw, you know, Howard going at it who did I see going at it with Jokic? It was McGee early. And then I saw Murray trying to get physical in the game as well, trying to guard LeBron James, and they get a screen going, and he gets, you know, physical with the screener. The game has been relatively chippy. I mean, there's definitely been some physical play. The Nuggets hit a 3-ball, so they're within 8. So there's 39 seconds left in a half, and it's really been all Lakers. The Nuggets have just had so many turnovers and, you know, calls against them. I mean, when they get a call against them, that's one thing, and they've gotten every call, the Lakers. And then the other thing is that when they don't get a call, they just turn it over flat out. So I think that the Nuggets, I'm a little surprised, Carver. Are you at all that they've come out tonight and look really kind of sloppy and average for a team that's been playing every single other day for a month and a half? I mean, they have literally played every other day for like a month and a week. And if you check the schedule, you'll see that I'm right. They have literally done that every other day since a month and a week ago. And they, but tonight they look like they haven't played in a month.
They were even up with them after the first quarter. That was pretty back and forth. They were in the game, and then for some reason, just things started going really wrong. The first 4 or 5 minutes of the second quarter, Jokic gets a bunch of fouls, Murray gets a bunch of fouls, and they kind of lose control a bit and get down double digits. But at least this unit that's come in, Scotty, with those guys on the bench, and they've been on the bench for quite a while now. They're going to be on the bench until the third quarter. These guys that have come in this second unit for the Nuggets, at least they've kind of got this game back to single digits and kind of held the fort a little bit here and gotten past the bad calls. I will give them that.
Did you see this call that they're going to call this? That ball was kicked off of Davis's foot, and the whole world saw it in slow motion 5 times. And if they don't give this ball to the Nuggets, then you know it's just they're on the take. I mean, watch the play. He literally threw the ball. And it went off Davis's foot. All right, they're giving him a call for once. Because the Lakers have talked their way into every call. And what I was saying before is James talks to the ref. If, like, Murray's at the line shooting free throws, he's over there just literally. I mean, he's literally, it's like a porno watching him, like, go off on the ref. He's literally got his hand all the way down his pants. I mean, it is unbelievable. I can't even take it. Like, watch this. Look at this. Every whistle, they argue with the refs. And they don't just argue with them. They jimmy them. I mean, they talk them into it. Like, they just keep ribbing them and riding them, and they give them the business. And this Scott Foster is calling this game, and he is legitimately, he's Satan, okay? I can't even tell you. Every time I see the guy, I cringe. I'd rather have a colonoscopy then honestly watch this guy ref a game. And you know what the colonoscopy means? When you get a colonoscopy, you have to do that barium drink the night before and then spend like 8 hours on the hizzy. I mean, that is the worst night of your life, right? And then in the morning you go in there starving and they operate on you and it's a piece of cake, but it's the day before that's the suffering. I'd rather drink a barium enema right now than watch Scott Foster ref an NBA game. And I'd do it 7 days a week if I could not watch Scott Foster ref an NBA game. And you know what? Every time I turn on the TV, there isn't a day that goes by, not one, where I hear the announcer on TNT tell me that Scott Foster is the greatest ref in the world. I mean, are you kidding me, Carver Hyde? Just admit it once for me that he sucks. Tell me one time, just say you're right. He is the worst. Just say it so I can take this knife back to the kitchen that I'm going to shove in my chest.
He is the worst referee in the NBA. There you go. You can go put it away. He's the worst ref in the NBA.
Do you think he is?
He's up there. They're all bad. You know that. All these guys stink, but he's definitely at the top of the worst.
Can I just watch a game where they just play and then they control what I would prefer for me? You know what I mean? It's an 11-point Laker lead with 16 left. What I want is a game that is, you know, the players decide the game and the refs control any violence. That's what I want their job to be. So in other words, when it gets chippy and it gets dirty and it gets crazy, right, they make sure 70 to 59 Lakers at the half, they make sure that no fights break out and there's no elbows, breaking noses, fists flying, or, you know, even the trash talking where it gets, you know, your mother's this and that. I think that's the job of the refs. Control the violence, let the players play, and just frankly put the whistles away. Let's see them play ball like they do in the hood where everybody knows what a foul is. When a foul's obvious, call it. When it's not obvious, when it's, you know, it's, you can't decipher whether it's a foul or not. It's just a physical play on both ends, the driver and the defender. Just let it go, right? Would they call it in the hood? Fair enough? You got a problem with that, Carver High?
I don't have a problem if you want to play street ball rules, prison rules, whatever you want to play. I mean, that's fine. But, you know, they ain't going to do that.
But why not have them let the, you know, multimillionaires decide the game? That's what we're there for. I have said this before on this show a million times. I am not there to watch the refs. I am not watching an NBA Western Conference Final or East so that I can be entertained by the refs' many, many, many calls. I don't want to watch them blow the whistle every trip down. Every half-court possession is a whistle. When is the last time that you saw him run three times down the floor without a whistle? Tell me.
It's extremely rare.
When is the last time you watched an NFL game where they made eight plays in a row without a flag?
10 years ago. At minimum. Minimum.
Thank you. That's it. That's all I wanted. All right, here. Take this knife back to the kitchen. Thank you.
I think the NFL is worse. I think that they're even worse with what they do.
Watching an NFL game is like
You can't go two or three plays without a flag on something. I mean, there's a flag on everything. You can't, and it's like you've said this a billion times. When a team scores a touchdown, you almost can't even celebrate right away if you're a fan of that team because you actually have to look and see where is it? When are they throwing the flag? When are they putting it up? Because it's like every other play.
Yeah, nothing. There's no score anymore in the NFL that's right in the moment. There's no touchdowns in the moment. It takes another 3, 4, 5 minutes to decide if the guy scored the touchdown, no matter what. It's every single touchdown it's like a 4 or 5 minute review. I mean, it's unbearable. They've ruined the game. Like, it's like all day long flags. What's great about the Red Zone channel is, if you ask me, is that they play nonstop for 8 hours football where they just keep moving and bouncing around to games, right? So they don't spend the whole day watching flags and the games with all the calls. So every game has so many calls that Who wants to sit through that? Why not just go right to the next game so I don't have to watch it? I just want to see plays, attempts, touchdowns, passes, tackles, blitzes, everything. Without the refs, thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you on a pain-free Friday. I turned on the Coastal Carolina game during the Laker halftime. I was watching this game earlier. The Coastal Carolina Campbell game. I mean, what a strange world we live in now that I'm watching this game. But last week, they were playing at Lawrence, Kansas. And they went there against Les Miles. And they basically beat Kansas's ass. And it was unbelievable. And the only guy they could send to do it is the best ever. My favorite all time. College football, but he's doing pros this weekend, and I've seen him do that before too, but they got him, they dusted him off to do the Colts and Viking game Sunday, so that'll be the game I'll be watching. Here he is, the governor. He's been through hurricanes. He's been through like 60 rounds of golf. Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Here he is, the governor. Look, how is everybody down there after those hurricanes that blew through there? Oh, my gosh.
Well, it wasn't great to be with you, Scotty. It was wild to think that just a few weeks ago we were going through, Laura. And, you know, we had some trees down in the back, but fortunately it was over the back fence, far from the house, not on the house. Most of it took a little bit of a dip to our east, which meant it was going right over Ruston, which really impacted Louisiana Tech. They were going to play Baylor in a game for Fox, and after they had all the trouble they had a little bit of a spike and could not make the trip to do that game, and then lo and behold, you see what happened to Baylor. And Houston, they were trying to have a game, and now Baylor can't play tomorrow. So, and then, of course, I've been thinking about my friends down in the Floribama area this weekend with everything that went on with Sally. So, and right. There's another one out there, supposedly. Yep. It's going to be in the Gulf, and we'll just see where that thing goes next week. 2020 can't get over soon enough, I think.
Right. How about that game?
As soon as possible.
How about that game you did last week? I mean, what did you think? I know Coastal Carolina is better than anyone knows. I don't think anybody knows. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're good. And a lot of teams are really good outside the Power Five. And I think if you're looking for silver linings to, you know, the COVID season we're going through and what's happened, and, you know, we're waiting a really, forever to see the big boys come out and shine, whether it's the SEC next week when they open up. The Big 12 has been sporadic, and now because Baylor's not playing, we don't have a college football game on Fox tomorrow. Gus and Joel were going to do that. I guess they may have been stopped at the security. NTSA may have stopped them on their way out getting to the game. But the reality is, with the situation that we're seeing, it's teams out of places like the Sun Belt and Conference USA and the American Conference that are getting some opportunities to get those coveted windows, television windows that belong to the big boys, either to the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the ACC or SEC, because they're not playing. And as a result, these coaches, their players are giddy. I mean, they're absolutely giddy about the opportunity that they have to seize the moment. And never was that more clear than last week when the Sun Belt went 3-0,
right,
the trifecta against the Big 12. And, you know, I think probably going into the Coastal game with Kansas, Spencer and I sort of felt Coastal was better at the line of scrimmage than Kansas was. Kansas is really young. A lot of people are throwing dirt on Les. And the truth is, you know, he's not recruiting any junior college players. He's got 25 high school kids that came in this year. And he's trying to rebuild that thing. I mean, the Charlie Weiss hire, you remember that one after Turner Gill at Kansas?
Sure.
About a dozen years ago. The Charlie Weiss hire and then the payoff of Charlie Weiss was so big that it devastated that program. They don't even have 85 scholarships at Kansas funded. Okay, they're operating as a Power Five program that's really, from a financial standpoint, what when Jeff Long, the AD, and Les Miles came in, is probably more Group of Five than Power Five in terms of, you know, what they're bringing to the table. I mean, it's just a joke, the situation that they were in. Now, they're trying to build it back up. Les is doing it the old-fashioned way, which means it's going to be 3 or 4 years before they're any good. So Coastal Carolina comes in, a chance to beat them a second consecutive year, and they're really good. Got a great young coach that I think has a chance to be a Power Five coach one day, and they beat them pretty soundly. I think of the games, the Arkansas State win clearly over Kansas State was enjoyable to watch because they came from behind to do it.
Right.
But I thought what the Raging Cajuns did in my home state, what the
that's
boys in Lafayette did,
right,
what they did to Iowa State, a team that I had as my sleeper pick in my preseason top 10, I had them all the way at 6. I thought Brock Purdy, to me, was a sleeper for the Heisman. They boat raced them. I mean, they beat them about as much as you can beat them, and especially in special teams. You know, they had a punt return and a kick return for touchdowns, and I think that probably got a lot of people's attention. And you know what, Scott? You shouldn't have been that surprised, and probably I shouldn't have been that surprised. They won 11 games last year.
Right.
You know, they got a really good coach. Billy Napier has worked with some of the best coaches in the business. And he turned down an opportunity to be a Power Five coach last year because he knew he had a good team. So look out for the Raging Cajuns down in Lafayette. And you know what? If this year, because everyone that's big time is starting late, if we don't find a way to expand this damn playoff
right
to 8 teams by 2021, then shame on everybody involved in intercollegiate athletics and in college football. We are losing, regardless of the Big Ten starting up at the end of October, regardless of whether the Pac-12 or the Mountain West follow suit and the MAC comes back into play. We're looking at a lost year in terms of finances and revenue for this college football season. People are going to lose. I mean, we're going to be seeing hemorrhaging of cash in college football this year. So they've got to make that up somehow, Scott. They do. Now, because the Big Ten is going to play and because the Pac-12 may and the MAC and the WAC may, the reality is we're going to lose maybe 40% less than we thought we were going to lose, but going to lose a lot of money. So how do you make that up? Inventory. This just is Power Five and college football playoff. One word only, inventory. You expand the playoff to 8. You guarantee one of the group of fives a chance to get in. whether that's Cincinnati, Memphis, or UCF out of the American, or hell, if it happens to be the Raging Cajuns from Louisiana and the Sun Belt, or Louisiana Tech out of the Conference USA. I don't care who it is. Put them in. Put them in. You have a Cinderella story automatically. They would be the eighth seed. They play the top seed on the top seed's home stadium the first week. Two play seven, three play six, four plays five. You give the network that has the rights. I don't know why I'm doing ESPN's work for them. You know, they got this thing for another 5 years. But why these suits in Connecticut can't figure this out, I have no idea. You're losing your ass this year. You come back, and you have eight teams in the playoff next year. And you tell Bill Hancock down at his palatial office in Texas, by God, this is what we're doing, and that's that. Because we gotta find a way to get this revenue back that's been lost. So that's how you do it. And it needs to be done soon. Hell, it could really be great for the committee if they did it this year. Because think about it, Scott. How are we going to know? Let's say the Big Ten plays eight games. Let's say they play eight games. Well, that's enough, I think. They deserve every right to be in the college football playoff if they play eight games, and we can see enough of how these teams look. I think they deserve a spot without question. Pac-12 saying maybe they couldn't play till Halloween. All right, well, maybe they play six or seven games. All right, and then we see, that Sun Belt team or that American Athletic Conference team wins 10 or 11 games. Let's say they win every game. Well, let's make the job easier for the committee. Put them in now. Let's go to eight right now. Let's do it now. It ought to be done by 21, but if anybody had a brain, they'd do it in 2020. We've never needed it more than we need it now.
All right, so hold on a second, Governor. We're going to come back. We'll talk about more of this and some of that. I want to talk about what he thinks of the Big Ten's plan, the Big 12 now saying they'll make a decision next Thursday. I don't know. They met today, and then they're going to wait till next Thursday. I don't know what that's about. And then we'll ask him about the NFL game that he's calling on Fox Sunday. We'll get into all that. By the way, Campbell's got the ball inside the 10-yard line, first and goal. And if they score, which they just did not on a pass into the corner, if they would have scored there, they cover. They cover the spread. That's all we care about. Let's ask the governor if he remembers. Do you remember that? Because he knows way more than I do. He's way smarter than I am. That's why he's the governor. But do you remember the coach at Coastal Carolina? Do you remember the guy that was like, we got a bunch of cats around here. We don't have any dogs. We don't have any dogs that bark and bite. We have a bunch of kitty cats. Do you remember that guy that was screaming and yelling? And he lost his mind on television. Yeah. What was that guy's name? Do you remember?
Yes. I can't. It wasn't Jamie Chadwell. I'll tell you that. The current coach.
He was great. That guy. He snapped that day. You remember?
Don't you love it when a coach snaps
and goes
Was it Dave? Okay, that was who it was. Goes right, all Earl Weaver or Hal McRae on people.
Oh, hey, Ben. Hey, so is Tommy Frazier's kid the quarterback at Campbell? Is that what it is? Because they were showing him running back-to-back national titles at Nebraska. I know those are your boys.
I didn't notice because I was so distraught because I had Coastal covering and that now they're not.
So anyway, I gotta sit on this.
Now, let me ask you the number. The number is 25 and a half, right?
Right.
So a field goal won't cover. They got to get a touchdown here to cover, right? That's what they got to do. So I'm just doing the math. I'm sorry. I digress. I apologize.
No, they're already covering. So here's the deal. The problem is, I don't know if you saw him last week, but Campbell last week played Georgia Southern. And I think that, because I'm not that sophisticated, but I think it came down to they lost by one, but they scored and they had a 2-point conversion to win the game at Georgia Southern, but the kid threw the ball through the back of the end zone, and it was incomplete, and then Georgia Southern won the game. So I was watching that game, and I'm like,
right,
you're not that bad. So I jumped on the number. I took the 25.5, 26.5. But I said, Coastal's definitely easy. But I think that Campbell team can hang with anybody because Georgia Southern's pretty good, right?
You're the only person on God's green earth that would be having this conversation with me right now. And I will tell you, it's one of the reasons I love you, because this is the kind of conversation on Saturday mornings in the mid-80s, when we started College Game Day, I'd pick up Beano Cook at the Holiday Inn in Plainville, Connecticut. And he'd be going on and on about some inconsequential game. Pranto, I had Campbell at 25, and they decided to kick a field goal with 30 seconds left to go up 24. They were killing me, absolutely killing me.
He used to say to my dad, I told you they were best friends. So he used to say to my dad, Tom, your son is using the same bookie that I use. Did you know that your son has a Campbell?
Do you know how much better the world would be if there were more sports people like you and Beano Cook, Perel? Do you realize how much better our world would be if
He's
more
a
people
legend.
Just thought, you know what? Let's just see who covers the frickin' spread.
There isn't a person on the earth that even knows where that school is, let alone if you're degenerate enough to bet on them. Let me ask you a question about your state, because I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah.
You know I love the pot. So, Louisiana Tech beat my Canes 29-0 in the Independence Bowl, and I literally wanted to chop my pinkies off. And so when they beat them, and I thought to myself, what is going on down in the governor's state? And so then Louisiana's – the Cajuns are great. And by the way, as Carver High will tell you, I took them in the 11 against Iowa State. That was my favorite bet of the week. And then I want to ask you, while I'm at it, is Monroe – Is every team in the state good now in college football? LSU's always good. Is the entire state now the best hotbed for like pretty good football?
Per capita, yes. My homeboys at the alma mater are in a transitional year. I don't expect them to be, you know, in the upper tier of the Sun Belt. You know, Viator is a really good coach, but he lost a lot of guys from a year ago. So, you know, if they can hover around 500 or a little bit better, then that's a good year for UL Monroe. But Lafayette is really good. Louisiana is really good. The Raging Cajuns, they could win every game. I mean, they could. And that's my point. If they happen to win every game, and you're 10-0, 11-0, and then you're measured against 7-2 or 8. See, I think everybody in the power conferences, once they begin playing, Scott. I mean, in the SEC, you got a conference game every time out. You have no, you know, FCS week off, you know, in late November between a rivalry game. You don't have that. So I think the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC could cannibalize. I mean, I think there's a chance you could have multiple two-loss teams from the power conferences. And if that's the case and you've got a undefeated American Conference team or an undefeated Sun Belt, or name that group of five that's playing and a team runs the table, I think they deserve greater consideration. That's my point.
So what about
may not happen.
Right.
But I think that it's one of those years. I think that they really need to look at expansion and they need greater inventory. I'm serious about that.
I'm with you on that. Tell me about. I'm with you completely. And I said today on the show on the TV side on Pharrell Coast to Coast that they got to get eight teams in the playoff and stop all this nonsense. But let me ask. let me ask you about this. So Kevin Warren was so in over his head. Now, this guy ran the Vikings, and he was very well-received in the NFL. Everyone thought highly of Kevin. He went to the Big Ten, and since he's had that job, he has just been hatcheted by people. They have come down on this guy like nobody's business. When they canceled football, it was like they were going to destroy him. Between kids, parents, media, he got attacked from all sides. And then, really, like Christine Brennan of the USA Today, I know you probably saw her article. She said he caved, buckled. Tell me what you think of their decision to go back and play football, and now all these kids opting out or opting back in, and some people think it's just so that Ohio State can win a national championship. They don't care about anybody else but Ohio State.
That's not true. That's not true. And Kevin Warren was, you know, put in a position where he was going to be the scapegoat. He was going to be the guy that took the hit. And every one of those presidents of every one of those schools that abused him knew that. Now, he did not make life for himself any easier by handling the original announcement back on August 11th the way he did, or putting out that terse letter a day later saying, we'll not revisit this. Okay, mm-hmm. That was poor PR on his part and the people around him. But, you know, as it relates to Christine, I've known her for a long time. We're actually close to the same age. And, you know, she's a really good writer. I mean, a really passionate person. Right. Her political lean is to the left, but she believes in everything that she writes. I've got great respect for Christine, but she's wrong. She's dead wrong on this. And I think, unfortunately, that the sometimes when you're concerned during a political season and you're also trying to do your job, you can lose all sensibilities. I think that happened to her. I think it happened to Dan Wolkin, who just could not handle the fact that Trump was taking a victory lap over the Big Ten's decision. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but this just in, the Biden-Harris campaign put out an ad and spent, you know, millions on it that was blaming Trump for there being no football in the Big Ten. Well, I mean, that ad's been running for about 3 weeks. So Trump does get involved. He made sure, and he did, from what I'm told, he did help them in terms of making sure that they get all that they need in terms of the rapid testing. Presidents, you know, do have that power. So if he wants to take a victory lap, I don't think it had any, I don't think Trump had anything to do with what the Big Ten's decision was. But if he wants to take a victory lap, you know, he'll damn well take it. That's politics. Somebody wants to scream, that's journalism. Okay, that's journalism. Well, that's also politics. So that's part of what went on here. Kevin Warren is the scapegoat here for a lot of presidents that wanted to play this game of we're smarter than you are. We know better than you know. And that's that. And I think there was also a hint of academia versus athletics that goes even further back that says, we'll show you. Okay. And in the end, those that were in charge academically had to take a look at checks and balances, and they saw how much revenue they were really going to lose. And then they started to say, oh, well, we better take a look at this. And now comes the pressure. I will say this, the pressure that came from the Justin Fieldses of the world, okay, the players themselves the parents of those players and athletic directors that were well-meaning and worked really long and hard well into the night, like Jim Phillips of Northwestern, Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin, Gene Smith at Ohio State. These guys made a difference, Scott. I mean, they made a difference. And without all of that work, they would not have seen this about face from 6 weeks ago. And good for them. Good for them. To me, it's inspiring what happened. Okay, it's not caving. It's inspiring because the data changed. The rapid testing changed. There were a lot of reasons that they did not have to make that decision on August 11th. I actually, if somebody said to me, Tim, we're not playing because, you know what, we're just not sure. We don't think the players are going to be safe, and we just can't take a risk. I'd say, absolutely, that's fine. Tell me that on September the 26th. Don't tell me that on August 11th. The problem was August 11th. They didn't need to make that decision then. They didn't. And I think that's what they found out, and thankfully they realized it. What's amazing to me is to see how everybody else, and you see what happens now, all of a sudden the Pac-12 is interested. The Mountain West is interested. Everyone takes the lead of the big dogs, and we'll see what happens. And, oh, by the way, if some games get canceled or postponed along the way, so be it. That just means you're doing your job and being accountable, making sure the players are safe. That doesn't mean you should try. It was always going to be easier to shut down than it would be to try to fight through. And that's true in life as it is in trying to play a college football season. It's easy to quit. It's easy to say, no, we can't do it. It's hard when you say, you know what, we've got obstacles, but we can get through it. And that's what college football is doing.
So let me ask you, are you just straight up, are you going to bed yet? Because I still, like, you know how I am. I get
you
this way.
You want to go with another segment?
Well,
I'm ready.
Well, here's what we got to do. So because I got this crazy top of the hour break. So I'm going to have Carver High call you back in, like, I don't know, 12 minutes. And then I want to talk about the NFL game that you're calling this weekend. And I'm just never satisfied. We got the governor on. It's so hard to get the governor on because he's so busy with everything. He's got everything going on. Politics, hurricanes, NFL games, college football games. So when we get him, we got to latch onto him. So we'll call you back in like 12 minutes, and then we'll talk about the Colts and Vikings with the governor, my favorite of all time, Tim Brando of Fox Sports. We'll call you right back, all right, Tim? So go have a beer or have an iced tea, and we'll call you right back. Coming back with, at the top of it, just give me just for on the bench. I gotta turn that on. You're telling me that Sanchez just hit a tying home run in the ninth?
That is correct. A big night for Gary Sanchez here. He had the two-run double in the seventh that got the Yankees to within 4-2. Gio Stanton, your boy, had a double in the eighth to get them to 4-3. And then Gary Sanchez again in the top of the ninth hit the homer to make it 4-4 up at Fenway. How about that?
Did you see it up into the Green Monster, and then it smashed some chick in the face that was sitting there?
One of those cardboard cutouts?
Yeah. It smashed her face in. It was awesome. She had a big smile on her face, and you saw her head snap back. That was awesome. I should have had this game on all along so I don't have to watch the Lakers cry to the refs. Who cries to the refs when they're up 15? You know what I mean? Like, you're up 15 and you still cry at every whistle? I can't even take it. I can't watch them. Like, I want to – I honestly, I want to commit felonies when I watch the Lakers play. I mean, I really do. It's so unbelievable to me, too, because I lived in L.A., and I loved the Lakers, and I went to – you know, back in the Kobe days – and Shaq, I was there, and I loved him. And I just, you know, I used to go to games everywhere, the Forum, Staples, wherever. And I loved him when I lived there. But I just can't stand him now. I don't care what anybody there thinks. Like, I just can't even take them because they cry so much. Like, I would like them if they just bawled. Just bawl. But the crying to the refs of every whistle, they throw this giant scene of they just temper tantrums and crybaby, like whining to the refs. You can't even deny it. There's no one even in LA that can watch them and deny it. You'd be found guilty in court of lying, perjury. Like, how can you watch that and not see that they work the refs and whine? I mean, they're even good at it, right? They got it down to a science. LeBron James has it. Literally, he's the mad scientist with the refs. He's in their pants.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.